Welcome to Minding Your Business, business success coaching for entrepreneurs. Each week, certified master success coach Magic Ravenhawk brings you success secrets that have been utilized for years by top business owners from all over the world. She incorporates new and evolving use of technology and new thought leadership to give you a strong business advantage. Now, here's your host, Dr. Magic Ravenhawk.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Minding Your Business. This is Prosperity Coaching for you today. Today we have with us Derek Rydell. After a life-changing brush with death, he considered becoming a monk, then cloistered himself in his apartment without TV or news and meditated for several years, emerging to become a licensed integrative therapist, best-selling author, and adopt a monk. We'll have to ask you about that later. He has trained top executives at Fortune 500 companies in relationship and communication skills, coached hundreds of writers, artists, and media professionals on how to create more conscious content, ghost-written several books, and over 20 screenplays. Worked under the close mentorship of Michael Beckwith. A lot of you know him from The Secret for 15 years. And taught thousands of people around the planet how to live a more passionate, prosperous, and purposeful life. His latest work, The Law of Emergence, takes you beyond self-improvement to access your true potential and higher purpose. So welcome to the show, Derek.
Thank you, Magic. It's an honor to be here.
Great. Can I ask you about that adopt a monk? I'm sorry, but it's just driving me crazy when I saw it. It's like, no, I got to know that first.
Yeah, he didn't literally move in with me, but it was a program to adopt a Tibetan monk and as a refugee. And I did that for, you know, many years, and eventually he was on his own.
Oh, good.
But I never actually had him move into my house. It was more of a providing, you know, financial support and letters and things like that.
No, was he here in the States or was he back in Tibet?
He was back in Tibet.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Well, let's get on with this. I am very interested in knowing, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are interested in knowing, what's the difference between the law of emergence and the law of attraction? A lot of people, of course, know about the law of attraction since it became very well known in The Secret. And then, of course, through all the books that have been written on it since, 1937 and forward. So, and probably some a little bit older than that as well, too. Can you tell us the difference? Walk us through what the difference is.
Sure. In the law of attraction, it's obviously a real law that exists. Mm-hmm. And it is included in the law of emergence, but there's basically several stages of spiritual or personal growth and unfoldment, that an evolution of consciousness that we go through. And the first stage is being a victim, where we believe life is happening to us. And actually, Michael Beckwith teaches these four stages. And we think we're a victim and life's happening to us. And then we grow and we discover that we actually have an ability through visualization, through prayer, affirmation, intention, vision board, through the mechanism of the law of mind, to create our life, to control our environment. And that's the second stage. So we move out of victimhood into being a manifester or a creator. And in that stage, we gain control over our environment through the mind. And that's where the law of attraction lives. So it's very powerful because it moves us from being a victim to being a manifester or a creator. But
right.
at a certain point, it becomes a limitation, because primarily when we're trying to create something in our lives using the law of attraction or other manifestation techniques, we're often creating as a reaction to cultural conditioning, parental fantasies, or just our own self-image and concepts about what we think life is. So as a reaction to that, we try to create what we think is the right or the better life for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're reacting to those values that have been ingrained in us.
And so you're telling me it's more of a reactionary state of being that you're at.
It's more of a reactionary state, And it's a limited state because we're trying to create. We can only create at that stage from our imagination. And imagination is certainly a better tool than purely knowledge, as Einstein would say. But it's still based on what already exists. Even if we're, you know, reconfiguring what exists, we're still using what exists. And so we can only create at a certain level. Basically, what I say is, it's why you might get a bigger house, but still feel less at home. Or you might manifest a bigger paycheck, but just feel broke at a higher income bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And so you carry with you, and you have a tendency to magnify your innate problems or limited self-concept. So at a certain point, you have to let go of that stage, which requires letting go of control and letting go of your agenda of what you think your life should be. And you move to the third stage, which goes from manifestor or creator to being a channel of something bigger than your ego, bigger than your sense of personal identity. And that's where the law of emergence resides. And the reason why this is important is that I use the analogy of a caterpillar. If a caterpillar could use all these great manifestation and law of attraction techniques, they would strive to create the best caterpillar life that they could. And, you know, get a great caterpillar body, a great caterpillar house, you know, a great caterpillar mate, right? And the best caterpillar car that they could, you know, find. And the problem is, if they succeeded at that, when the change started to happen in them, the evolutionary impulse to become something more than that, which looked like the breakdown of their current life, they would begin using all these techniques to hold on to that great caterpillar life. But they would never be able to become what their destiny is ordaining for them, which is to be a butterfly.
Right.
And the butterfly, where the butterfly is going to live, and the point of view of a butterfly, all of those caterpillar things will become unimportant and even in some cases useless. So, and you can't see, the caterpillar can't even imagine what it's like to be a butterfly. It's beyond its known self. So from the law of attraction in the second stage, the best we can do is to improve our human concept of what we think our life is meant to be. But from the third stage, the law of emergence, that's where we tap into real vision. That's where we tap into destiny. And like the acorn tapping into the realization of being an oak, you know, or the caterpillar realizing the vision of being a butterfly. It's beyond our imagination. It's beyond our cultural conditioning and even our parental fantasies. And in some cases, even our genetic coding.
Now, even if it's beyond our understanding at that time, then how do we actually understand when it's happening? Do we have to go through a lot of people say, you know, your biggest growth is when you're either in a stage of suffering or a stage of you're very uncomfortable. Certain things may be happening to you that you don't like at the moment, you don't want at the moment. You may not know why or anything because you thought you did everything correctly. Or how do you know when you're in the emergence process?
Well, you can begin the emergence process through an intention to, you know, one of my intentions is more than I want to change, fix, heal, manipulate, or even improve my human condition, I want to wake up and catch a vision of that divine idea that is planted in the soil of my soul. You know,
gotcha.
I want to see what my real purpose and vision is. Or I might even put it in terms of what's God's idea of my life or higher power's idea of my life. And so you can start that intention now. And one of the things is that it's true is that one of the things that happens when something is beginning to emerge in us is it can look like a crisis. I actually gave a talk recently called Your Problems Are Your Answered Prayers. And I also talk about how our crises crack us open. And that when you set an intention to become more in your life, to have more, to be more, to reveal more of who you really are, and what happens is that immediately is answered. You know, the minute you pray or intend, it's immediately answered, and that greater potential is activated within you. But as it starts to emerge through your consciousness, respond to that vision board of what you think it should turn out like, that visualization that you've been working on, if you're holding on to that idea as this bigger sense of self, this bigger destiny is trying to emerge through you, it's trying to squeeze through that often narrow concept, and it starts to shake and disrupt things, and it can feel like crises, and in fact, it can break out like a crisis in your life, in your relationships, in your job, in your body. But really what it is it's a call to let go. It's an evolutionary catalyst. And one other example I like to use is there's certain seeds in the forest fire that in the forest that require a forest fire in order to crack them open and cause them to grow. Now, if that seed had an ego, when that fire started raging, you know, down through the forest, it would probably use visualization and prayer and affirmation and, you know, all these things, manifestation techniques to put out the fire, to try to prevent it, to get out of the path of it, or to make some, you know, firemen show up. It would use all those techniques to prevent that crisis, which seems very logical to the human mind. However, if it succeeded, it would have thwarted the very condition that would cause it to evolve and grow to its next stage and fulfill its destiny. So that's often what happens with us is when the crises happen in our life, we try to pray and affirm and use techniques and visualization to solve the problem or to get out of the way of it or to make it go away, and we're actually thwarting our own evolutionary process. I think it was Michael Beckwith that said, you don't solve problems, problems dissolve as you evolve. As you resolve and evolve, your problems dissolve. That's what he says, I think.
Say that again so people can hear it.
Problems, you can't solve problems. As you resolve to evolve, the problem dissolves. So the problem is an emblem or a symbol of an evolutionary trigger point for you. And cannot solve a problem at the level of thinking that created the problem, as Einstein said. And so it's really a call to evolve to another stage of consciousness where that problem no longer exists. And so the problem is dissolved as you evolve.
So let's bring it a little bit down to reality so people can kind of get a grasp on it.
The practicality, absolutely.
Okay, I know, because, you know, even Einstein, you know, quantum just drove him crazy.
That's
okay. Right. Right. So let's say, for an example, you're doing great, you're doing fine, and then all of a sudden, something happens, whether it's your health or your business or your job or something, to shake that up. So now you've been taught about the law of attraction. So you start, you know, morning and night, you're starting to rebuild those neural pathways to get, you know, get out of that rut that you're in or out of those old beliefs and so forth. And you start with auto suggestions and you continue through. And, you know, that's worked in the past.
Right.
But now it's time to, as from what I hear from you, is move further into this, into the evolution. Would you suggest to a person not to do that? Or would you suggest to them just to let it go and just see what happens? I mean, there has to be some action at some time to be able to, I hate to say fix the problem, because that's kind of what we're trying to say you don't have to do. But you have to actually do some action. I mean, if you're about to get fired over something, let's say that you can bring up and say, no, you're misunderstanding it or have a different perception of it. Do you not act on it? You just let go? Just let it be?
Well, the key is not so much. There's a lot of distinctions that can be made in here, and it's definitely not about sitting and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about being moved into compelling right action. And what I also want to say is it's not also to say that if you're obviously in an emergency or, you know, you're in a dangerous relationship or serious, you know, issue that requires very immediate action and there will be severe consequences, you do the best you can. You to stabilize the situation first, and then you can, you know, do this deeper work. So I don't want anybody to think, you know, your car is about to, you know, fly off out of control or something, and you're going to sit there and work on the law of emergence. No, you're going to get the car to the side of the road and, you know, make sure everybody's okay.
Okay.
If you're in a relationship, you know, or, you know, your business is about to go bankrupt, you know, this week if you don't make payroll, there's certainly times where you need to do the best you can, but as a way of life, you don't want to be about putting out fires. So that's the first thing. And as a way of life, you don't want to be merely a problem solver. Because, again, if all you're doing is solving the problem at the same level of consciousness that created it, then even if you manage to resolve it temporarily, that underlying issue is still going to come back up again. You know, it's like people who fix this one area and then it pops up over here, or they leave this relationship only to find the same relationship with a different face.
Oh, it keeps repeating.
Mm-hmm. It keeps repeating itself. And so the other thing they find is they've used all these techniques and they work for a while. And then at a certain point, they not only stop working, but their life does seem to go into crisis of some kind. And that is an indication that there is more of themselves trying to come up, trying to come through. And again, that crisis is a call for them to grow. And then their intention, I believe, needs to be what I said in the beginning, a prayer or an intention that has something to do with more than I want to control or fix or change this situation. I want to realize the higher vision that's trying to emerge in my life.
So would you say that in some cases, let's say people use affirmations to do the law of attraction, then would you suggest that they use affirmations, but even work it in a different way? Like you said, you want to realize that higher calling, that vision.
Yes, absolutely. You can still use these techniques. I can even talk about how you can use visualization at the third stage here.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break.
Sure.
When we come back, we're going to go through this visualization on this third one, then move on forward, because it's really, really interesting. And I think a lot of our listeners need to know this is going to be our only break for tonight. And so we'll be right back in just a few moments.
In these uncertain times, are your employees stressed out, needing more than a traditional counselor or therapist? Engage Life EAP has the solution for the benefits portion of your business. Engage Life EAP offers outstanding life balance and wellness programs for your employees. They offer culturally based programs along with holistic and ancient therapies. Mind, body, and spirit is the balance we all strive for. The best employers provide their valuable employees with a total holistic approach to their lives. By providing the best benefits package, you can ensure you're employing the cream of the crop. Contact them at www.engagelifeeap.com. The best employee assistance program, engagelifeap.com.
Holistic therapies for today's lifestyles can be found at Mind Shift Therapy. If you are looking for mind-body medicine and specialized therapies, this is the place. Mind Shift Therapy works with individuals as well as hospitals and cancer centers. Their therapists provide the best in complementary and ancient therapies. One size does not fit all. They will give you specialized care and develop a program that fits your needs. They will nurture and care for you, allowing you to be empowered and engaged in your own healing. Contact them through their website at www.mindshifttherapy.com. That's www.mindshifttherapy.com. Holistic therapies for today's lifestyles can be found at mindshifttherapy.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
And we're back with Derek Rydell. And before we took a break, we were talking actually about the law of emergence and when we actually are going to move into this. We talked about, I asked about if you do the same type of affirmations except for more of a calling to, you know, to realize your vision and so forth, same affirmations that you use for the law of attraction. And when we left, you also talked about we were going to talk about visualization. So if we can just kind of flow with that, Derek, I'd really sure. appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to understand, again, the law of attraction still gets activated when you work with the law of emergence. The difference is that I use the analogy of an individual who used the law of attraction to manifest their Mercedes, and then I spoke to him a couple weeks later, and his Mercedes was in the shop for the third time, and he was now trying to pray himself out of the mess that he affirmed himself into. And the problem was that he had manifested a Mercedes, but he hadn't developed Mercedes consciousness. And so the problem is with the law of attraction, you can manifest stuff and all that, but it may or may not be for your highest evolutionary good. And when you use the law of emergence, what begins to emerge in you and as your life will be good, but it may be different than what you thought it should be. And it will activate the law of attraction and draw into your life the resources, the things that you need to fulfill your purpose and your destiny. But it will also be, it'll fit you. It won't come with any of the limitations when you're merely using the law of attraction from your imagination. So mm-hmm. when you're doing affirmations or visualizations, what's important to understand is that at this third stage with the law of emergence, our real goal, our real aim, and this is a little bit hard for some people, is that more than we're trying to control and change the outer pictures of our life, is we're seeking to know who and what we really are, to know our authentic self, to know the self, you know, for those who have a spiritual inclination, to know the self that God created in God's image and likeness. Mm-hmm. You know, and it says also in Scripture, seek first the kingdom, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. So in all the great religions and great spiritual philosophies and mystical teachings, they've all primarily pointed to this fundamental truth. Who and what we are is already perfect. That's why I say self-improvement is an oxymoron, because the self is already perfect when rightly perceived and understood. It's also why I talk about the law of emergence is about the end of the self-improvement movement.
Right.
Because the self that we are, and this is the truth, this isn't merely hyperbole, is really whole and complete and perfect and infinite, and all of the power and the wisdom and the genius and the health and the wealth and the talent and everything that we're struggling and striving to get or attract, we've already got it. This is the great secret. The real secret is you've already got it all. And so all of our struggling to get what we've already got actually manifests more of an experience of not having. Because you get not what you're doing, but what you're believing. So if you believe you're lacking something and you try to attract it to you, even if you manage through sheer willpower and mind power to attract it, because you believe you were lacking it, you're going to manifest a greater experience of lack. So with the law of emergence, the first premise we have to accept is we're already the thing itself. Everything we've been seeking, we're it. And so with our affirmation, we're affirming things like, again, more than I want to get anything or make anything happen, I want to have a deeper realization of this whole and perfect self that I already am. I want to wake up. I want to see the self that God created, some version of that. And that becomes our affirmation. And then we also can affirm qualitative things like, I am loving and peaceful and joyful and beautiful and abundant, because those are not outlining any picture. So that as long as you're not outlining any picture, you're not creating any limitation in your life. And then you can embody the quality, and as you embody the quality, they will begin to clothe themselves in the perfect forms in your life according to your divine pattern. That's the step of the law of emergence, which is about creating the right inner condition.
So it's putting yourself in total alignment.
It's exactly true. You're putting your, understand this, you are the thing itself. You are already, what are we going to, mm-hmm. you're already the Buddha. You're already Jesus. You're already
right.
the life of infinite potential. You're it. And then you have these beliefs that say you're not it, you need more, you got to attract more, you got to become more. That whole thing. And what you got to do is become in integrity with who you really are by bringing your thoughts and your words and your actions congruent with this highest truth about you. And incidentally, that's another, in the Bible it says, where two or three are gathered in my name in agreement, I am in the midst of them. And what that, the mystical or esoteric meaning of that is when the two or three dimensions of ourself are in congruence or agreement with this highest self, then it becomes manifest. And that's the thought, the word, and the deed. When those three things become congruent with the truth that I am whole and complete already, I'm abundant already, then you begin to manifest. And you don't just manifest limitation, you manifest according to the highest.
So when someone tells you moving into this, and let's say it is for you to be more comfortable to be in a larger house, you're not thinking about that, but what you're thinking about is your highest self. You're doing this, so you will attract, you could attract, you might attract. It's possible that that's for your highest good, that's what would be attracted to you, and you would get it. Am I following this correctly?
The bigger house, yeah. What's important, what you begin to do at the third stage is you begin to reinterpret every external goal spiritually or qualitatively. And what I mean by that is, let's just say what I think I want is a bigger house. What I begin to do is look at, well, how would I feel if I had the bigger house? Who would I be? What would I believe about myself? And when you start to listen, you hear, well, I would feel more abundant, more expansive, a greater sense of beauty and aesthetic. I would feel more confident, more good about myself, more successful. I'd feel joyful. I'd feel free. So you start to discover what you really want isn't the house. What you really want is a greater realization of these qualities. And guess what? You've already got them.
You already have them. That's right.
So the work is awakening and activating these inherent qualities that are already within us. And then you start walking around. I remember doing this work at one point, and I was suddenly walking around feeling like I was a superstar. And I was I had to stop and go, what happened today? Did I get some good news? I'm like flipping through my memory going, did I get a call? Did something good happen? Why do I feel so good? I felt like I was rich and successful. And you know what? In my experience, I wasn't that yet. But I had been doing the inner work. And I suddenly felt, so I was already living in heaven. While my conditions may have appeared relatively hellish. And then what happened is that consciousness, those qualities, began to clothe themselves in outer form as greater success, greater opportunity, etc. But it wasn't a picture I had formulated. In fact, I couldn't have even imagined it. At every major turning point in my life, whether I went from being an actor to a screenwriter to an author to a spiritual teacher, I had never planned anything past being an actor. But at every crisis point, as I did the inner work without holding on to a specific vision, it emerged, this a bigger life than I had imagined began to emerge. And what's important is as it emerged, it transformed me in the process. And one other thing I want to say about visualization is that at the third stage, a great way to use visualization is you can visualize your greatest ideal life. So you can see all the things you want to have and be and do. And really, really feel into that vibration. Feel what it feels like. Then let go of the picture. And just be with the quality, with the vibration, with the feeling tone. And allow that to expand and grow and magnify within you and fill your whole body and begin to radiate from your center into your entire experience. Now what you've done is you've activated and begin to cultivate the inner condition for that seed of unlimited potential in the soil of your soul to begin to emerge.
Right.
So that's a very powerful way to use visualization. Whereas if you use it and you hold on to the picture,
right,
then one of two things can happen. That picture, you may get that picture only to discover it's not satisfying because it's not really what you were meant to become. Or it may be so not in alignment with who you are that no matter how much you try, that picture will never come into fruition. And
now, would you recommend that when you get to that point, that third, although we haven't heard about number four yet, but when you're in that third stage, is that where people actually can find what their true purpose is? Because, you know, you can ask people, what do you want? They don't know. I mean, they have no clue what they want. They don't know what their purpose is. They don't know what they want or even desire half the time.
Yes, absolutely. That the third stage is where vision lives and purpose. And Michael Beckwith has a process called life vision, which is a very powerful technique that lives at that third stage. And I say that there's imagination, which is the tool we use. The visualization is the tool we use at the level of imagination, and life visioning is a tool we use at the level I call emergination, which is the imagination of the soul. And so at that level, you begin to tap into vision, and that's where your purpose lives. And that can really be as simple as beginning to ask the right question. You know, asking, who am I really? What was I created for? Why am I here? And sincerely asking that and beginning to be more interested in discovering your purpose and your destiny than you are in controlling your circumstances. This is always the key, because we've been brought up into this belief and into this way of living, which is so much about changing our external conditions, controlling our conditions, harnessing all of our external conditions, controlling other people, and that is counter to our real evolution. And because everything that we see out there in the world of appearances is an effect of our previous thinking and believing. So trying to change our life by changing the external picture is like sitting in an audience watching a movie and not liking what you see and trying to go up on the screen and change it. It doesn't work. Now, you might be able to block out certain parts of it for a while, but
until they drag you out of there.
I was going to say, yeah, you're going to have some very ticked off audience members dragging you out of there. So it's ultimately all of life is really happening in consciousness, and that's where we have to change it. And and purpose is when we are really become, when you are sincerely interested in discovering your purpose more than you want to change or control your condition, then you will begin to have insight and guidance about what your purpose is. And there's some other tools, I would say, just a couple little tools around discovering, beginning to tap into what your purpose might be, is, again, understanding that everything we see out there in the world is a projection of what's going on inside of us. I like to say all of life is a Rorschach test. And so, those ink blots. And so we don't see what's out there. We see who we are. And so you begin to look at the screen of your life and look at the people that you really admire or envy or yearn to be like, the people, the books, the movies, the things that really attract you, that really have some luminosity. and then begin to define, well, what are the qualities and the characteristics and the attributes of these people? That is a snapshot of your own inner light and your own inner power and potential. You've just projected it out on the screen of your experience. And so as you begin to reclaim those parts of your own projection by recognizing that anyone you think is awesome, great, talented, brilliant, anyone you envy, emulate, are attracted to is really reflecting a dimension of your own power. And you begin to systematically and consciously, through affirmation, etc., reclaim those parts of yourself, you will begin to have greater and greater insight, guidance, direction, and be moved into right action to express more of your purpose.
You know, as a therapist, and I know that you're a therapist as well, too, I notice that when people come, for particularly when they're in the addiction mode and drug and alcohol, you know, when they go into rehab, they actually get pulled out of that environment, put in a different environment while they're there to detox, while they're there to learn new coping skills and so forth. And is it similar to that, that, you know, you kind of realize that what you're seeing, or what is it a more of a mirroring? How do you explain what you just said? I mean, because there are people that are in a place of, like we talked about, that their life is happening to them, but then removing themselves, like in this case would be like a crisis, removing themselves from that particular environment, time to do introspection work, a time to find out who they really are, then do they start then attracting people that are different from the ones that they were attracting before they went into, let's say, rehab, for instance?
Well, if a shift happens on the inside, then one of two things will happen. They will start attracting new people into their life that reflect who they're now being and what they're now believing about themselves and about life, or the people in their life will change to reflect it. One of two things happens. That's why you never really need to make a decision. You know, when you have an inner shift, when you really get who you are at another level, because our life and our relationship is always, not only sometimes, but always a reflection of where we are living in consciousness,
right,
then we will either be moved out of those existing relationships and environments into an environment or relationships that can carry this higher octave, this higher vibration we're now living in and radiating, or the environment and the people that we're in will be transformed by it. That's why it's so powerful. That's why there's a saying, you know, that 10 righteous men can save a whole city. Is that because when you transform, because again, the whole world, we're not in the world. The world is in our consciousness. And I know this sounds a bit esoteric, but it's true. We're not in our body. Our body is in our consciousness. We're not in relationships. The relationships are in our consciousness. So when we have an inner shift, when we begin, let's say we go into rehab and we begin to start to care about ourselves more and let go of self-destructive behaviors, begin to realize our value, really value ourselves, and begin to love ourselves and take care of ourselves. As that shift happens, our outer environment must begin to reflect that, because it's always been reflecting that to begin with.
I got it. I think it's wonderful.
It's so powerful when you begin to really get that all of life is really reflecting back to dimensions of yourself. Now, there's another side to it, and that is all the people that really tick you off, that push your buttons and that rub you wrong, are also reflecting dimensions of your shadow that you have not yet integrated. They're parts of you that you think are bad, that if you were to acknowledge that part of you, you wouldn't be able to love or accept yourself. And those people that are reflecting those to you, that push your buttons and irritate you and anger you and upset you, those are also dimensions of us that if we are brave enough to begin to look at and integrate, to forgive and to embrace and to integrate, we will become whole at another level than we ever imagined before and unleash all the power that has been siphoned off by these fragmented parts of our shadow. It's a very, very powerful process.
I think it's wonderful. You're right. You're right. It's very powerful. Do you want to take us to number four?
Well, we don't have to go to number four. Number four is the fourth stage. You know, the first stage is to me, where life is happening to me.
Right.
The second stage is to it, where we're now happening to life. We are in control. We are the manifestors. The third stage is where life is happening through me. So to me, to it, and then through me. And that's where we become a channel. That's where the law of emergence lives. The fourth stage is as me. That's where all sense of separation is dissolved. And there's no longer a subject-object relationship. And we are literally the thing itself moving through the world, expressing complete wholeness.
And if that, total that's fluidity.
Yeah, and that is the ultimate enlightenment. And we've all probably had, many people have had moments, you know, where for just a moment you just felt connected with everything. You know, you might have been in mm-hmm. nature, or you just felt one with all of life, you know. And then, you know, you slip back. And ultimately, it's about living in that state all the time. And, you know, believe me, if it's a great goal to have, it's a great intention to set, but if you can just begin to move out of victimhood a little bit each day and begin to release blame, shame, guilt, and realize that you are the creator and the co-creator of your experience, you're doing a whole lot. And if you can begin to, little bit by little bit, surrender some control and surrender some of your cherished ideas of who you think you are, and begin to open up to a greater vision for your life, you're doing a whole lot. So I don't want to overwhelm people or confuse them with some grand idea of enlightenment, because, you know, most of us are just trying to feel good and fulfill, you know, our life at this level.
Well, even just trying to catch a glimmer of that, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just a glimmer of that. Mm-hmm. And usually, anybody that's on a spiritual path or a real path of self-awareness, self-awakening, is because somewhere along the line, they did have a moment of one. They had a moment of touching that light, touching that sense of absolute awe, where the small self was lost, was dissolved in a sense of oneness with everything. And it might have just been a moment. But in that moment was all it took for the stronghold that the ego had to begin shaking loose. And in that little crack, the spirit and the truth and the authentic self began to merge. And once that crack happened and it began to merge, it's got a hold of us and it's never going to let go until it fully emerges.
And as they would say, once we know it all, then it's time to go.
That's right. If we're still here, we got a lot more to know.
Hey, do we transition after that? After we've got it all down? We never have it all down, though.
I don't think you ever do. It's infinite, you know. I think you can potentially, you move from life as a problem to be solved to life being a mystery to be lived.
Okay. We have a caller, Amanda, sure, in California, and her question is how to use the law of emergence to parent a teenager.
Good question.
All right.
I have no idea, because I'm in the throes of having a teenager right now. No. That's a very good question. And the first thing is to realize that whatever you're experiencing with that teenager, whatever it's making you feel, they seem out of control, unappreciative, stubborn, willful, all the things that teenagers tend to express. First of all, you understand that usually if that's what's happening, that at that age, a teenager is individuating. And if you were really, really close with your child, like really bonded, the more bonded you are, ironically, oftentimes the greater and more seemingly violent the split has to be, because the child has to quickly individuate away from you. If they just do it kind of slowly, you'll keep holding on and holding on. So they have to just make a split, because that soul has to become individuated and be its own identity. But beyond that, whatever they're making you feel, scared, sad, grieving the loss, angry, wanting to control them more. Understand that all of that is about us. And that teenager then in that moment is becoming our teacher and reflecting back to us where the beliefs and the limited concepts about life, about parenting, that we need to begin inquiring into to see where we've been snapped and where we're not willing to grow, to let go of control, and to have a greater trust. Because that teenager is the life of God or the life of spirit or whatever term you want to use, and they're already perfect, and they already have the life within them that knows how to totally fulfill itself.
Okay.
And so it's really a call for us to grow and evolve as well.
Well, I'm going to bring Amanda on really quick here and see if,
sure.
if you've answered her question or if she had a specific thing that she wanted to ask.
Absolutely.
Amanda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Hey,
okay.
Amanda.
Did he fully answer your question?
Yes, he fully answered my question. It's it's always a struggle to kind of remain in that vibrational octave when your teenager walks in the door after school. It's easy to be, spiritual, quote, when you're with yourself or with your friends and your other spiritual friends, but it really becomes challenging when you're dealing with hormones and, as Derek said, this kind of individuation that happens, which is really the perfect explanation about what's going on.
Yeah, it's important, I think, to realize that it's a process. It's literally an evolutionary process, not only for the teenager, but for you as well, for the parent as well. And it's a mirror. It also begins to mirror how you do anything is how you do everything. So it becomes a little crucible of transformation, a little mandala where it's like a container where you get to really see how you are really parenting yourself as well. So if you're hard on yourself, if you're beating yourself up, if you're frustrated with yourself, if you're getting to see all those things and in a way begin to reparent yourself, be very loving and gentle and kind and compassionate with yourself. So it's a very powerful process, and you just have to be very patient, not only with your teenager, but with yourself.
Indeed. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Amanda.
Great question.
Well, Derek, you just now scared me. I have a 10-year-old, and now I need to go reparent myself now.
Oh, no, don't want to scare you. I have a 12-year-old, too, who's beginning to move into that stage as well. But, it's different for everybody. It's certainly very common for it to be very challenging, but it doesn't have to be. It really depends on where you're at in your own growth and what's important for that relationship to evolve. And, to begin see the more, I think the more we can see as just a baseline way of looking at all of life is that every challenge, every so-called crisis, every so-called problem is a call. It's a signpost that says, get ready. You're about to grow into more of your real self.
We have another caller on. I just want to get on before we actually go off here. Charlene in Los Angeles, her question is, what's your take on all the new programs coming out teaching how to shift consciousness? Charlene, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, Charlene.
Hi, Derek.
So say the question again.
Go ahead, Charlene.
Oh, okay. Well, my question is, it seems like there's an awful lot of promotion going on, even from people that run the movie The Secret, about if you get their program, buy their product, that this is going to shift your consciousness quicker, faster, better than this other one. So I just wanted to know what your take on that is, because it feels like you keep getting pulled away. There's one way, and then you get pulled to a different way, and this is better,
The
new technologies are being thrown in, and
right.
versus sticking with something like the law of emergence, which is very between you and God, and you're not going out and using all these other systems.
Yeah, it can be very challenging, and it's very important, I believe, there's a Zen statement that says, take the one seat, and it has to do with find a teaching that you resonate with. And stick with it through thick and thin for a at least a predetermined amount of time, let's say for a full year at least. And the reason is that what happens is we start a process or a practice. And a lot of these tools out there have a lot of value to offer. But what happens is we hit a wall, and they stop seemingly working for us. But what's really happening is we've hit an inner concept. We've hit a barrier within our own evolutionary progress. And then the ego tells us, oh, this system doesn't work, and suddenly discovers a better system. And we begin to jump from one teaching, one technique to another, always just skirting the surface. The same way that we do a lot of times in relationships, people that are serial daters or serial job hunters, or, you know, the minute the fire really starts cooking, the minute we become bored, frustrated, confused, hit a wall, we think that's the problem with the technique or the relationship or whatever, and we move on. But if we're willing
to... I thought that was just ADD.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I like to say attention. Yeah, exactly. You know, what it really is we get into a whole other discussion about ADD and ADHD, but is that it's really a call to go deeper. And if we're willing to be still, then we break through another level of our own inertia. So that's one thing that can be going on. On the other side of that, it's important to be discerning. You know, when you see all these products and things out there, and they're trying to woo you with, you know, get rich quick and get love quick and get right. healed quick and all these things, is discern, are you being attracted to them because they promise quick and easy results? Because if so, that's the ego attracting. That's the ego attraction. Or are you being attracted?
And like you said, there are a lot of tools out there. I mean, you have tools, I've got tools, we all have different tools. It's
right.
just what resonates with you.
Exactly. You have to be discerning what resonates with you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just important to make a distinction, because what I find is that a lot of people that respond to a lot of these different tools and techniques, what they're really responding to is the quick fix mentality. It's the 12 o'clock at night while you're eating that extra piece of cake you shouldn't, and you're watching a show about the Thigh Master, and you think it says, get better thighs in 2 weeks guaranteed. You know, you buy it. So, you know, it's important to be aware of what you're buying from, where you're reacting from.
We've become a society of, you know, instant gratification.
Exactly. It's a microwave consciousness.
Particularly with technology, you know.
That's right. And so programs out there are marketed specifically to that part of our ego. I mean, I know a lot of these people, so they're sincere. You know, they believe what they have can really help you, but they market it in a way to deal directly with your pain.
Right.
And because they want you to get their product so that they can really help you. But the problem is that it becomes this sort of addictive cycle of you're constantly looking for a quick fix, and when the quick fix doesn't happen, because it rarely does,
right.
you think the problem is with the product or the program, and you move on to the next one, and no real transformation ever takes place.
Derek, we have about a minute left. What I'd like you to do is to give us your website where people can go and get more information on the Law of Emergence.
Yes. My website, first of all, you can go to www.lawofemergence, LAWOFEMERGENCE.com.
Okay.
And you can get a free e-course that is not filler. It is a full-on, jam-packed e-course on the Law of Emergence there. It's free. You can also go to www.DerekRydell.com, and that's spelled DerekRydell.com. And I can help you with, you know, give you the free e-course and help you to
engineer
the emergence of your own life.
Now, in 30 seconds, what do you want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, what I want to say, and we got into this before, and this is my most important message, is understand that wherever you are, wherever you've been, whatever the external conditions appear to be, know this: you are already perfect. As Michelangelo said with the block of marble, saw the completed David and chipped away everything that wasn't the masterpiece. You are already the masterpiece. Be willing to begin letting go of everything that isn't the masterpiece.
Wonderful. Thank you, Derek. I appreciate you being with us tonight.
Likewise, Magic. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you again to our wonderful producer, Sam. Please remember that starting on December the 27th, the show is moving to the morning, 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Please check our website at RavenhawkTalkRadio.com for updates. And until next time, this is Dr. Magic Ravenhawk reminding you to mind your business.
You've been listening to Minding Your Business, Business Success Coaching for Entrepreneurs, presented by Ravenhawk Talk Radio. Join us every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to explore ways of taking your business to the next level. Visit us at www.ravenhawktalkradio.com. See you next week.